ma. There is a question, what is consciousness? A specific question. And we can understand this question from three poles or three levels. One is consciousness as it is emerging through a process of evolution. One way. Consciousness as it is in the supreme reality and how it has slowly, supreme consciousness and how it has become all this. But a third way, which I feel is very simple, is to understand it starting with human consciousness. Because that we are aware of. So when we say, I am conscious, what do I mean? That I am aware. How do scientists understand consciousness? Through phenomena. So if the doctor sees that, well, there are reactions to stimuli, we say the person is conscious. So that's why we don't say sleep is unconsciousness. Because there are reactions, try to poke, he'll react. But we say there is unconsciousness when there is no reaction by phenomena. Obviously, this is very inadequate because this from the surface reactions you are trying to conclude. And recent studies also show that if you do a PET scan imaging of the brain, it has been shown that even when there is no outer reaction, still your words, some part of the brain gets triggered. So there is consciousness. Something is happening even by the pure phenomena. The phenomena is not just outer but in the brain. There are certain things which respond. But that response is never carried to the surface. This has many practical implications. That means don't treat a person as dead before he has died. Okay? And even after death, don't treat him like death. So this, because we have this idea. So consciousness. So human consciousness means awareness. Normally that's what we understand. So what is it we are aware of? We will say we are aware of all that is around us. So that is called as objective world. We become aware of the objective world through the senses. Is the objective world only what we are aware of? Then we say, no, no, I am also aware of myself, my thoughts, my feelings. So there is the subjective awareness. So there are two kinds of awareness. That which is objective, the second is subjective. Then behind awareness of thought, feelings, will, we can ask, who is aware of all these subjective worlds? Who is aware that I am thinking? Isn't I was thinking? Who was aware that this thought was entering? So if you follow that trail, you will say that, well, consciousness can become aware of itself. It's called as self-awareness. So science has taken the outer route. And yogis take the inner route. They become aware of the subjective worlds. Ultimately, if you go, it's very simple. Because whatever material phenomena is, you can only perceive it according to your consciousness. The limits of your consciousness, let's say a snake, the way it perceives the outer world, it will be different. Maybe it will see the same material object, but even that with a shade of difference. And you will perceive it differently. So ultimately at the bottom all experience becomes subjective. Because it's you and your consciousness which to an extent colors, if not determines, the objective reality. Some people go to the extent of saying it determines, that's going too much. That can be told only of the highest consciousness. The supermind determines, the determining consciousness of the divine. But otherwise it does color. When a person is frightened, it may feel suspicious about a friend. And when a person is in a very happy state, even an enemy comes and stabs it, it will say, oh, 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 mere dost, ye tumne kya kar diya, add to Brutus. Because, you know, that state of consciousness is like that. Generous. So, consciousness is that fundamental reality or that power through which we become aware. Aware of what? Aware of the world, aware of the self, and aware of all that is happening inside. Now, is it connected to the brain? Well, how do we become aware of the world? We receive impressions from outside through the senses. They go to the brain. And then people say we become aware. But there is a gap between receiving this information as packets of energy and becoming aware of the object itself. This is a mystery in its own right, but we'll not go into that mystery. But basically it means the brain and the senses are only instruments through which we become aware of certain things. They give us the input. But that input, over that input, something else has to apply itself. So still we will say, from the yogic perspective, it is very much there that even what we call as brain is an instrument that has been evolved through evolution of consciousness. But I am not going into evolution of consciousness, this separate subject. Also, consciousness makes us aware of ourselves. People are trying to look at that place in the brain through which you become aware of yourself. You can find it for eternity. That debate is still going on. Somebody lost the debate recently. 25 years of... So how do we become aware of ourselves? By consciousness turning upon itself. At any point of time, even in real life, I may be aware of that and suddenly I may withdraw from all that and I become aware, oh, I am there. Okay, so consciousness has this capacity of projecting outside or withdrawing inside. It can become aware of itself. But is this awareness only awareness? Or does it carry within itself the force to act, react? So when the scientists say we know of consciousness through the reaction, he is not completely wrong, because consciousness, awareness carries inherent within itself not only the power to become aware, but the power to act. When I become aware that there is a rope, I may decide to pick it up, I may decide to put it on the side, or I may decide to examine it whether it's rope or a snake. Or I may decide to do nothing with it, or I may write a poetry on that rope. Or somebody may, in an extreme case, get ideas. So, basically, there is within consciousness not only the power of knowledge, sorry for that, but also the power to react. So, consciousness is knowledge plus will. They are together. In human beings, there is an apparent split between the two. We become aware, then we choose. That's how we experience life. And this is another big debate, whether will is a product of the brain or it comes first. But I am not going into those semantics. But they are together. I may choose not to act. That is also a choice of action. That's what the Gita says. Arjun, when you say you won't act, that is also a choice. So you are still acting. When you say, I won't act, it is still action. It goes into the account of action. What was the action? No action. So consciousness is the fundamental reality or power of knowledge as well as will. In the divine, the two are together. What the divine wisdom sees, that it creates. That's why in the divine they are called as omniscience and omnipotence. They are together. You don't have an omniscient divine who is not omnipotent. The divine, that's where this, again we go back to the supermind. In the supermind, the divine vision is at once omniscient and omnipotent, because there is no division. Knowledge and will are one. God does not do like this, that okay, let me first know you. Then he says, okay, now I'll decide what I should do or not do. What he sees, that he does. But in human beings, there is a gap, division, because of the mind. And if you go lower down, there is will rather than knowledge. Automatic will operating within, we know as instinct. But within the will, there is knowledge which is held back. Isn't it? See the way instinct work. What a precision. You step on a snake and you had it. The snake has no time to think. It doesn't feel, oh my God, oh poor fellow, I have bit, my poison is so dangerous. It doesn't, it just acts. But there is within it inherent a knowledge which is enough for the snake to accurately strike the target. So everywhere we see knowledge and will are together, meaning thereby consciousness which is everywhere. We started with human consciousness, but equally we can see in animals, in plants. Even in material objects, there is consciousness which limits itself within the limits of that element. It doesn't shoot itself. So there is a knowledge within the atom that you should have 8 or 2 electrons in the outer orbit. There is that knowledge. And that knowledge also has the power to limit it. So consciousness, we know, is below human beings. And it evolves better and better instruments. Is it there below matter? Now that's where the yogin comes in. Yes, it is there below matter also. Until that point where it seems there is no consciousness. Is it beyond human beings? Now this is where mystics confirm it is there beyond human beings. Beyond the human frame. That's how they can become aware in a different way. The mystic can suddenly become aware of the truth in your heart. You're trying to hide it, cover it, becoming a sadhu vachya, but he knows. And ultimately you will know that he knows. How they become aware? Because consciousness has expanded, it has become more powerful. But because the brain, it has not yet evolved instruments so far. Brain is still evolving and one day we'll have instruments, so it will become available to everyone. But right now in exceptional circumstances, mystics can become aware. We also call it as altered states of consciousness. Evolved states of consciousness. And there is a greater will also. Because what are these evolved states? They are where the consciousness has freed itself from the instrument. So it can act better. It can know better. It can know directly through the thought world. It can act better directly through the thought world. It can implant a thought inside others. Sounds like a schizophrenic, but there is a truth behind it. Once Swami Vivekananda in the middle of the talk suddenly stopped. And he said, you know, I could see I am molding their, influencing their minds. You can directly influence human beings, events, all. So this releases those possibilities. And again, going up, we can go right up to the supreme consciousness, which is omniscient and omnipotence. And it is this that creates ranges of consciousness, layers of consciousness, levels of consciousness, degrees of consciousness. There is a supreme awareness where you are simultaneously aware of the whole creation at the same time. That's how the mother puts it. When you are conscious of the whole world at the same time, then you are conscious of the divine. We may say, how it is possible? It is possible by the release of consciousness from the instrument. It can expand into cosmic consciousness and even transcendent. That's how the yogis experience. So it can go further, high. It can fall of consciousness. When you behave like an animal, your reactions are like an animal. It can go into a jadvat avastha, where you feel like a stone. I don't feel like doing anything. Physical consciousness, tamas. So there are, you can play with consciousness. There are several talks on that, so I'm not going into it. But basically consciousness is the knowledge and power inherent in existence. Now we have Satchit Ananda. Wherever there is existence, there is consciousness. Wherever there is consciousness, there is existence held back within it. Even in the subjective states of consciousness, there is existence. But it is held back. It has become maybe formless. But it is there. And consciousness can give it form. That's probably going too much. Similarly, we have outer consciousness, inner consciousness. We have environmental consciousness. Now you can, you know, play with it to the extent. You have the Jagrat waking consciousness, in which we are aware of the outer world. You have the inner dream consciousness, in which you are aware of the inner world. When you withdraw into it, that's why sometimes when we are walking on the road doing WhatsApp or whatever, or maybe thinking about a friend, we may hit on a stone. Why? Because we were aware of something going on inside us. So this is the dream consciousness. And this is just one example, but dream consciousness can stretch endlessly. And then beyond the dream, there is the sleep state of consciousness, in which consciousness completely withdraws from all outer and inner phenomena and rests within its own origin. Sleep or sushupti. And then it can even go beyond it into that where it embraces everything and exists in its own right, which is the supreme consciousness. So consciousness, releasing consciousness from its entrapment in matter and this world of form and name, is the first step in every yoga. If you don't have consciousness, or if you have limited consciousness, you cannot practice yoga. That's why Shubhendu says three things you must have: consciousness, plasticity, and surrender. How to release it? Detach. We are too much involved with things. That's how it is operating. It is mechanically operating. So when you detach, and then you attach, detach from this world of name and forms, attach it to that which is beyond all forms and yet in every form, that is the divine. By doing it, slowly the consciousness gets released from this limited entrapping. Once it is released, then it has, you have it available, and it can enter into cosmic consciousness, it can enter into transcendent. But the first step is to step back, to detach from this world of name and forms. By doing it, you don't become otherworldly. No, it is a step, process. It's like a doctor going into a medical college, and he must learn first everything about medicine, then only he gets the degree to practice. Otherwise, he remains like Neem Hakim. And then, after that, by turning to the divine, you can even arrive at the highest consciousness, in which you can be simultaneously aware of the divine within, the divine in creation, in the cosmos, and the divine who is transcendent. Jai Ma.